Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Takes a shot, runs into the box, shot, score!
It's time for Atlanta Soccer Tonight.
Tune in as Jason Longshore gives you insight and analysis on the beautiful game, including headlines from around the world of soccer.
Rebound, score!
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight, brought to you by your local Ford dealer and Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs, save more lives.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Here's Jason Longshore.
Let's kick it, Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. Welcome to our weekly show. We talk soccer all over Atlanta, Georgia, the United States, this hemisphere. We got a lot of that tonight. We'll get to Europe. We'll get to Africa. We'll get to Asia. We'll get all over the world because that's what we do on AST, and that's the kind of day it's been. If you haven't had a chance to keep up with everything going on in the soccer world today, I'm going to try to get you caught up in this show. I make no guarantees that's where it's actually going to go. Just to give you a glimpse of the smorgasbord of what we're going to talk about when it comes to soccer tonight on AST. The U.S. men's national team, dominant tonight. Maurizio Pochettino has gone dominant in the press conference as well. You're going to get some audio from that before we're done. We have 42 of the 48 teams that are going to be in the World Cup next summer booked. The final three spots, it wrapped up about 30 minutes ago in CONCACAF, and it went down to the wire. We know who's going to be in the playoffs that will take place in March, both the UEFA playoff and the Interconfederation playoff. We know a little bit about how the Interconfederation playoff will be set up as well. The European playoff, it's a little more complicated in terms of the seeding. We'll get you caught up on all of that. Atlanta United made roster moves today. That was announced this morning. We'll talk about that. Atlanta United too as well. There's other news in the soccer world to get into. So much. I'm probably going to leave some stuff out. I apologize in advance, but this is the kind of night that it comes around really every 4 years. The final day night of World Cup qualification, outside of the playoff games and that round, and that's going to be a lot of fun in March. Outside of that, where it's straight up knockouts to get to the World Cup, this is one of the best days on the soccer calendar worldwide. Comes around every 4 years where you get the final games in multiple parts of the world that determine the next 4 years for these countries. Let's start in CONCACAF because that's the one that ended everything. And CONCACAF lived up to the CONCACAFiness. Haiti They are into their first World Cup since 1974 with their big win tonight against Nicaragua. Haiti has not been able to play home games in a long time. They played their matches in Curaçao. They got it done. Amazing scenes in Curaçao with Haitian fans who came to watch these matches. You're seeing reaction from the Haitian diaspora all over the globe right now with their team in the World Cup for the first time since 1974. Now, I mentioned Curaçao. They are in for the first time ever, the smallest country to ever qualify for a World Cup. If you didn't get a chance to see it, I shared it on my social media. Atlanta Braves legend Andrew Jones, quite a few other Braves from Curaçao as well. I think Atlanta's going to have to adopt Curaçao as one of their teams. Andrew Jones with an amazing video that came out this morning to get you hyped for your Curaçao. On the road tonight in Kingston, Jamaica, Curaçao could get through with a draw. Jamaica had to win. It finished as a draw. There was a penalty given to Jamaica that was incorrect. VAR intervened appropriately, took the penalty away, and Curaçao held on at the very end to advance to their first ever World Cup. About 155,000 people in Curaçao, and they're going to be in the World Cup. They are an autonomous country within the Kingdom of the Netherlands, and they are going to be at the World Cup for the first time. Panama was dominant in their win, 3-0 at home over El Salvador. They jumped Suriname to qualify directly. When the day started, Suriname was going in the direct spot. Now, here's where it got crazy. Jamaica and Curaçao, pretty much whoever didn't go through automatically was going to go into the Inter-Confederation playoff because of the number of points they had. Jamaica will go into that. They will have a chance to get to the World Cup. But Suriname was awful tonight. They were down 3-0 to already eliminated Guatemala on the road in Guatemala, and they scored in stoppage time to lose 3-1. But that goal in stoppage time puts Suriname into the Inter-Confederation playoff. It eliminated Honduras, who was going to be in that spot. Costa Rica and Honduras knew that had happened. They're both going for a win because if either one had won, they would have gone to the World Cup. They could not get it done. So out of CONCACAF, to recap, Haiti, Curaçao, Panama, they are all into the World Cup. Suriname and Jamaica go into the Inter-Confederation playoff. It was a wild ride, and it felt like at the very end there were VAR decisions all over the place. You had multiple brawls all over the place. It lived up to it. As good as it was, though, it could not live up to what we saw today in Glasgow, Scotland. That was one of the wildest rides I've ever been on as just a fan, just watching. I was a little biased. I was rooting for Scotland against Denmark. The story coming into this match, Denmark only needed a draw to advance automatically. Scotland had to win. The Saturday games were a wild ride in this group as well because Denmark ended up dropping points. They drew 2-2 with Belarus, who's terrible. Shocking result. Scotland in Greece played horrible, came back into it, got it to 3-2, but couldn't find a goal. That would have given them the advantage and a draw would have been enough for them. Couldn't get that done. So Scotland came in needing to win to go to the World Cup automatically. Otherwise, you're going into the playoff. It was just an incredible ride. I haven't seen a game like this in a long time. It was very cool to watch it at the Brewhouse Cafe with a number of Scottish fans today, who were much more on the roller coaster than I was. I was enjoying the ride. They were not enjoying all parts of it. They were enjoying the start, though. Scotland came out third minute. Bicycle kick from Scott McTominay, who has turned into a completely different player since going to Napoli. I put it down to the tomatoes. He mentioned that he didn't eat tomatoes when he was at Manchester United. He said that it was red water. He goes to Italy, starts eating tomatoes. He starts scoring bicycle kicks. He scored one to help Napoli win Serie A at the end of last season. He scores one here to give Scotland a big lead crowd goes nuts in Glasgow. Denmark, though, they came back. They ended up falling down to 10 men. They looked like the better team. They were the team with more ambition. Scotland defensively dropped way too deep, way too often. That's what you should expect from Steve Clarke. It was just such a crazy ride in this game with Denmark being in control of it for long, long stretches. Scotland hanging around and hanging around and hanging around. They got that lead from McTominay. They conceded in the 57th to at the penalty spot, Rasmus Højlund. Dodgy call, maybe, in given. Lawrence Shankland restored Scotland's lead in the 78th. Then they conceded again in the 81st, so it was 2-2. And then things got wild. And Scotland throwing everybody forward. They brought Kieran Tierney in off the bench. If you followed Arsenal, if you followed Celtic, you know he's got a magical left foot. I didn't know it was this magical. This is what that goal sounded like on BBC Radio Scotland.
Rifles it. I think that came off Grant Hanley at the edge of the box, and it comes all the way back out to John McGinn. Now it's back with McLean just inside the Danish half. Back in towards the edge of the penalty area. Again, it's a Danish head that gets to it. Not entirely clear. Kieran Tierney! Oh! Goal! Kieran Tierney has taken Scotland to the grounds of World Cup return 27 years on. And that could be the goal.
Just incredible. That gave them the lead. Watching Scotland try to hold on at that point, it was stressful. And it looks like they're just adding time on for Denmark. That goal was in stoppage time, so I figured they'd add a little bit. They kept adding more time on. Everybody's getting upset. You're waiting for Scotland to just put the game away and take it to the corner, clear the ball, send it into the ocean, whatever it took. And then this happened. This is also from BBC Radio Scotland.
We're back on the halfway line.
Where's he getting this title?
Goodness knows, but Denmark have it. Scotland just need to hold out for a few more seconds. My voice just needs to hold out for a few more seconds. As Gilman has it, he's surrounded. He pokes the ball back. Surely now Scotland will hold on to possession. It's McLean. He's looking to go for goal from the halfway line. It's Chip Smith. Glorious! Glorious! Kenny McLean from the halfway line! Scotland 4, Denmark 2! We are returning to the World Cup! What a night!
That was what put it over the top. Just unbelievable for a goal from midfield. And if you see the clips, and I think I've shared them, and they're out there all over the place, the Scottish television commentary, the color commentator saw that the keeper was way off his line, and he says shoot when the player is like on the defensive side of the center circle. He's saying shoot, and you're like, what, is he crazy? And then he picks it out, and that made it 4-2. It was epic. I shared on my social media from Soccer Down Here the video of the reaction at the brew house. Watch all the video reactions. Watch every bit of it. It was just an incredible thing. And this is after what Ireland did over the weekend, where they got a last gasp goal to get into the playoff. It's a pretty amazing World Cup qualifying cycle for Great Britain and Ireland. All five teams have a shot to be at the World Cup. I think the UEFA playoff is going to end up matching a couple of them against one another, but England is in automatically. They didn't concede a goal the whole time in qualifying. One of the best performances worldwide. Scotland is in automatically with that win today over Denmark. Denmark has to go into the playoff. Wales, Northern Ireland, and Ireland are all in the UEFA playoff. I don't think all three will get to the World Cup, but what a ride that really hasn't happened all that often in history. I think back to, I think it was 1958, where the four home nations, excluding the Republic of Ireland, were in the World Cup. I don't think it's ever happened again. Don't think it's going to happen here, but it's just been an incredible cycle. We're going to get into some of the other teams as well, some of the other storylines, and I'll get you kind of set up for the whole big picture at the end of our next segment. We're going to talk U.S. men's national team as well in the next segment. And we've got some spicy things to get into as Mauricio Pochettino was fired up after a huge win over Uruguay tonight. A couple other European news items from today. Three very established teams, three very highly thought of teams sealed their qualification today. Spain is one of them. I have Spain, and I will continue to stick with this right now on November 18th. Spain is my favorite to win the World Cup. They're the defending European champions. I think they're the best team in the world. They did actually concede today, two goals in a 2-2 draw with Turkey that didn't matter. As long as they didn't lose by seven, they were going to be okay to qualify. I think Spain's the most complete team. I think they're the favorite going into the World Cup. Dani Olmo scored early. Mikel Oyarzabal, he was outstanding in the whole qualification process for Spain. One of the top players worldwide. Oyarzabal was brilliant. They were missing players like Lamine Yamal, Rodri, Pedri. They've got to be healthy at the World Cup, and that could change all of this. But right now, looking to those three guys, especially being back, I think Spain's the favorite. Switzerland, they qualified. They get in today. Unbeaten campaign. Mission accomplished for Switzerland. They won Group B with 14 points. Ruben Vargas gave them the lead against Kosovo. Kosovo drew that one back. That finished 1-1. Kosovo gets into the playoff, and that's a huge performance for them. They could get to their first ever World Cup. But Switzerland, very consistent during World Cup qualifying. Very consistent. Belgium, they were playing Liechtenstein today. They didn't have much to worry about. They won 7-0. I mean, I don't know if you really take much out of it. They were 2 points clear of Wales. They were unbeaten in World Cup qualifying. Jeremy Doku is going to be a handful at the World Cup next summer. We'll be curious to see how Belgium balances the aging golden generation, which Romelu Lukaku is out injured right now. Kevin De Bruyne is out injured right now. How will Belgium potentially bring those two back in the fold and balance this team with a lot of young talent? And Doku is the one that I keep looking at as just a very special, special player. I don't know. I think Portugal, who qualified previous to today, I think they're going to be in the same situation. They had a dominant win over Armenia in the last game. Cristiano Ronaldo was suspended after his red card against Ireland for a very petulant elbow. Portugal's another one. How do they balance a player like Cristiano Ronaldo, who is still effective, who can still score goals at this level? Although, can he do it for 90 minutes in what will take 8 games to win a World Cup? Portugal's never won one before. I think Portugal might be better with Cristiano Ronaldo coming off the bench and managing his moments and picking his moments, making sure that he is available when needed. And there might be some games he's not needed. Will his ego allow him to be that and allow some of these younger talents that are around him to take that shine on? I'm not sure that it will. And I'm not sure if Roberto Martinez is the manager to make that decision. It's going to be one of the storylines as we start to look ahead to next summer. Don't forget, World Cup draw is coming up on Friday, December 5th. That's where you will get the 42 teams that are now in, plus the playoff spots. Basically, a placeholder will be drawn. That's going to be at noon on Friday, December 5th. We're going to have coverage going on all day long on our social media accounts, on the SDH network. I will have a very special Atlanta Soccer tonight at 6 p.m., to break everything down with the World Cup draw for you on Friday, December 5th. Not that far away. It's crazy now. Like as I've been talking to folks about the World Cup coming as we wrap up this segment of Atlanta Soccer tonight, it felt like the World Cup was a long way off in the distance. 2026, when everything was announced, was a long way away. Even last international window, it felt like a long way away. Only one European team was qualified at the end of the October window. Today is where it really felt for me, this thing is close. This thing is right around the corner. We're talking about 7 months before games are going to be played at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. We're talking about 7 months before we're having this conversation. Who are the favorites to win the World Cup? I've got Spain in that right now. I've got Argentina. I have France. I have England. And I halfway have Brazil. That's the conversation for me. That's five. That's the favorites. Who's going to be the plucky underdog? Who's going to make a run that's unexpected? Is it going to be the U.S.? Maybe. Is it going to be Mexico? Not the way they're playing right now. Is it going to be Morocco, who went to the semifinals last time around? Their U-20s won the World Cup. It could be Morocco. Is it going to be Portugal? Is it going to be the Netherlands? Is it going to be Belgium? There's so many different storylines. We're going to get into all of this as we get you ready for the World Cup and get you ready for the World Cup draw coming up here in a few weeks. We're going to talk about the U.S. men's national team on the other side of the break. A dominant win, five straight without a loss. I am assuming that there are some folks maybe frantically going back into their X profiles and deleting some posts. If not, maybe they should. Maybe this is a warning for you. There were a lot of things said about Mauricio Pochettino and how he was preparing this team that were wrong at the time, and they're being proven even more wrong with these performances. And I don't think Mauricio is all that worried about trying to make friends right now. He had a lot of things to say after this big win today. We're going to talk about all of that on the other side of the break. You are listening to Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back to more of Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore. You got a very caffeinated look back at the wild day in World Cup qualifying. We'll break everything down. I want to make sure you guys know the 42 of 48 teams that have booked their spot at the World Cup. We'll find out here in a couple weeks which ones will be coming to Atlanta, and we'll find out what times those games are going to be. That will all happen over that weekend, first with the draw on December 5th. And the schedule for games and kickoff times all should come out in the coming days after that. But there was also another match, an international friendly, because, look, the United States men's national team didn't have to qualify for the World Cup. It's one of the perks of hosting. But this team, if you are sleeping on the U.S., it's time to wake up. It's time to set that alarm because you've missed out. This team now is five straight unbeaten against top 40 ranked teams in the world that are all coming to the World Cup. That's the kind of performances that'll get you out of a group stage. That's the kind of performances that are, I think, a reasonable expectation for where this team can be. I've had this conversation for a while in various formats over the past, I'd like to say, a couple of years. I think there are overblown expectations for what the United States men's national team is right now. They are a top 20 team in the world. I think according to the FIFA rankings, which are not a perfect system at all, they're number 16 in that. That's fair. They're a top 20 team. They're a good team. They're not a contender to win the World Cup. That's crazy talk. They're not anywhere near a favorite to win the World Cup, even being at home. They never have won it. They've won one knockout game in history. One. That was against Mexico in 2002, a team that they knew very well. There are expectations for this team next summer. There are fair expectations for this team next summer. And in my opinion, the fair expectations for the United States next summer in the World Cup is to get out of their group. That's bare minimum. Win a round of 32 match. Round of 32, brand new with a 48 team tournament. Now, I would like to put that as a bare minimum. However, you just never know how things are going to fall. Go back to 2002, where you were nearly eliminated from the World Cup on the final day, got a goal in the other group game, you end up getting out of the group, and you end up drawn with Mexico, a team that you were not intimidated by, a team that you'd had a lot of recent success against, and a team that you beat in a knockout game to get to the quarterfinals for the first time ever. I think for the U.S. to have a successful World Cup next year on the field, it's get out of the group, it's win a round of 32 game, it's get to the round of 16. Anything can happen there. You're playing with house money by that point. Can this team get to a quarterfinal? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely they can. Is it fair to expect them to right now? No, I don't think it is. And I think maybe that's why there is a frustration about the U.S. men's national team in some circles. Also, I think there's just some outdated narratives going on about this team. And I also think it's really disappointing that there is a subset of soccer in the United States that is constantly comparing to other countries and constantly looking for things to look down their nose at when it comes to anything representing soccer in the United States. There are people who are frustrated that Major League Soccer players are doing well for the U.S. men's national team, and they did very well tonight. There are people who are frustrated because this team doesn't win every game that they play by multiple goals. Well, there's not many teams who do that. There were people who were very frustrated that this team doesn't know what their starting 11 is going to be in June of 2026. Guess what? No other team in the world does either. That was a crazy narrative that is still being held on to. There was a narrative going into tonight's match that there needed to be consistency in the lineup. Why? You're missing a whole bunch of players in this cycle right now. That's just facts. You have an opportunity to look at different players in these two games. You've looked at different players in these two games, and they've all played pretty well. That's a good thing. Having back-to-back starting lineups in exhibition games tells you nothing. It's like if the Falcons have a great exhibition game in game two, does that tell you anything about the regular season? No. As we've learned over the years, unfortunately, it's no. You're about preparing right now for next summer. And I like where this team is headed right now for next summer. 5-1 win over Uruguay tonight, a team that was number 15 ranked in the world coming into it. Again, FIFA rankings, not an exact science. That's just a fact. Game was being played in Tampa. Disappointed with the crowd. It needed to be bigger. And that's part of this narrative about this team's not impressing or whatever. Well, what else do they have to do? They're five straight unbeaten against five teams that are coming here next summer. The storyline can change, especially when the performances should make it change. Nine changes from the most recent win over Paraguay on the weekend. Serginho Dest and Matt Freese kept their spots. Sebastian Berhalter great set piece strike that opened it. Alex Freeman, a guy that we have talked about a lot here on AST over the last year, gets his first international goal in the 20th minute. Great solo effort for goal number two in the 31st. Diego Luna, another player we've talked about a lot here, he made it 4-0. Uruguay pulled one back with a bicycle kick from Georgian de Arrascaeta. That was in the stoppage time in the first half. Then there was a red card in the 64th minute for Uruguay, and then Tanner Tessman came into the match, and he scored in the 68th. Massive, massive win. And for some reason, there was, I guess, a lot of implied negativity in the press conference afterward. I want to share some of Mauricio Pochettino's comments after the match. The first question was about that idea of A teams and B teams. You were missing Christian Pulisic. You were missing Tim Weah. You were missing Weston McKennie. You're missing players that I think will be there next summer and be at the World Cup next summer. That opened the door for Gio Reyna, that opened the door for Tanner Tessman, that opened the door for other players to get important minutes in these matches over the last two games. Mauricio Pochettino, when asked about the A team, B team dynamic, this is what he had to say.
Negative, no? But I hate that. No regular players. What means? It's USA playing. It's the national team. Stop with that mindset. Every time that our decision is about to pick and start in 11, it's the US men national team playing. And after 1 year, I think you need to really know me that I hate to talk in this way. It's so disrespectful. It's so disrespectful because I think... we need to give credit to all the guys that today were involved, and again Paraguay too. I think it's about to win games, is to perform, and to be honest, is of course the player you need to call for their name. But I think the most important, and we were talking now in the dressing room, and that they put the team first. And we won two games, very difficult games against Paraguay and Uruguay, is because of all of them, and the credit is from them. But I think who won the that batch.
Costa Rica. I agree with Mauricio Pochettino. I think you have to be a little more respectful of the players that got this done here and played well. And you can hear the frustration in his voice there. I want to give something that I have not seen talked about outside of my morning espresso that I drop every morning, kind of a news roundup. It was interesting over the weekend reading the quotes from Gustavo Alfaro, the manager for Paraguay, after the loss to the United States. And he gave the team a ton of credit that I have not seen given in English by U.S. soccer writers. We've talked about it here, but he said that if you don't match the U.S. intensity right now, the way that they're playing, you can't cope. That's a credit to the players that are playing for the badge, as Pochettino said, that are playing for the overall squad. That is a credit to them that you have an international manager who is very highly respected in Gustavo Alfaro, who is saying, we could not match their intensity, hence we could not cope with the United States in this match. That's a ton of respect. Can they maintain that? I hope so, because that was the thing. When you look back and you look at what Mauricio Pochettino has done with this team, and you look back to the summer, and you go back to the games before the Gold Cup, and I remember being here on this show the Tuesday, the last game before the Gold Cup, where it was a bad loss that got out of hand in the first half, and it's the second time in a row that you'd had a loss go from being a two-goal loss to even more very quickly. And you just can't have that happen. I was extremely frustrated with that. I wanted to see what the Gold Cup would bring. And it brought much better performance. And I think it brought this group together a good bit. And you're seeing that play out now, whether it is Christian Pulisic, Weston McKennie, Tim Weah, whether it is Folarin Balogun, whether it is guys like Alex Freeman, Max Arfston, Tanner Tessman, Diego Luna. It doesn't matter. The team culture is very good right now. The level of intensity that you are getting in the performance from any player who puts the shirt on is very good right now. The work rate in that sense is very good right now. It's not just running a lot. It's running a lot at the right times and putting teams under stress. That's what this U.S. men's national team is doing right now. And then they're converting. They're converting on their chances. They're scoring goals. This is a fun team to watch right now. This is a team that there was a lot of belly aching about wanting to see what we are seeing right now. Now's the time to get behind this group. There's reports that their next match will be here in Atlanta against Portugal. There were also some reports that before that that had Belgium coming to town as well. Now that both teams are qualified for the World Cup, I don't think those games will get officially announced until after the World Cup draw because, I mean, what happens if we end up in the same group? I'd have to look and see. I don't think that can happen with Portugal, so maybe that one gets announced. Belgium, maybe. But we'll talk about that in the next segment where we talk about the World Cup draw pots and what the World Cup draw is going to look like, where the U.S. fits into and all that. You're not going to play a friendly against a team that's in your group in March when you're going to play them again in June. So if there's any consternation as to why those games are being held up, that's why. We'll talk more about the U.S. men's national team. I've got more audio from Mauricio Pochettino's post-game press conference. We'll talk about the World Cup draw setup as well with 42 teams booking their spots. We'll talk about the playoff format too. All of that's coming up on the other side of the break on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
When it comes to the world of soccer, we've got you covered.
This is Atlanta Soccer Tonight with Jason Longshore
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back. It's Atlanta Soccer Tonight, live on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. I'm Jason Longshore, and I feel like I'm juggling about five different things right now because about five different things are happening. People are reacting to Mauricio Pochettino's post-game press conference. I've got a little more audio for you there. We have an update out of CONCACAF where we talked about Curaçao getting the result in Jamaica that takes them to their first ever World Cup. Jamaica now has to go into the playoff, and they're going to have to find another manager to do that. Steve McLaren, the former England manager who had been in charge of Jamaica, he has resigned. A little surprising that he is stepping down after a qualification campaign that was pretty good. I mean, got right to this point. His quote is, "Sometimes the best thing a leader can do is recognize when a fresh voice, new energy, and a different perspective is required to move this team forward." Whoever walks into that job is going to have to take them through a inter-confederation playoff where Jamaica is going to have to win two games to get to the World Cup. We'll get into what the playoff looks like and all that. I want to share this next clip from Mauricio Pochettino with you because, again, you could hear the frustration from him, which you shouldn't be hearing after a 5-1 win, after being unbeaten in five. It felt like some of the lines of questioning was a little more negative than it should be. There's a little bit of a back and forth here, and it's again about rotating the squad, something that feels kind of odd. So here is that back and forth with Paul Tenorio of The Athletic and U.S. men's national team manager Mauricio Pochettino.
Yeah, but I think that you say about that there's no normal players. Well,
saying no. Yeah, that to your point that the idea of like the regulars.
The regular. Doesn't, who are the regular players?
No, I'm saying there is none, is what you're saying.
No, my question is, maybe I think we need to stop the press conference and I need to go to the dressing room, come back and start again the press conference. Because it's like we were the opposite, losing 5-0, no? 5-1, no?
No, I'm saying,
I am the USA coach, eh? No, the another.
Right, no, I'm saying.
No, but it regular, which, tell me which regular player you are talking about, because I don't understand what means regular player.
More experienced
players. Which?
More caps,
right?
Like,
okay.
Yeah.
Sí, pero yo estoy diciendo que no hay regulares, que este resultado dice que no hay regulares, que hay que pueden jugar con.
Yeah, but I think we need to talk about that to congratulate the player. I don't know if you know they are listen that press conference and player feel that oh the no regular player they play and they did well. I don't know. If I am the player, I am very disappointed with that. If I am the, and then we are going to ask things that, to be honest, maybe I am tired and I don't understand the English now or your English question because I don't, to be honest, very disappointed in the first two questions because I don't know what do you expect, what I'm going to say when you say no natural player. Playing today or the another day or in the Gold Cup or I don't know when. Very sad situation. Keep going.
Mauricio Pochettino, I think, has had enough. Maybe is that the best way to put it? The idea of players being regular players or not regular players. If you've listened to Pochettino, he is very much about the collective. He is very much about the players that he has at his disposal for a given match. If they're there, they're his players. They are regular players. They are normal players. He's calling up the players that he feels like are the best players at that time. That's going to take into account injury. That's going to take into account form. I think it is going to take into account a little bit of things he'd like to see right now from players that maybe he hasn't seen as much of, even if it is still November. There's still like this gnashing of teeth about, you know, oh, why are certain players getting certain minutes? I heard it today about, oh, Sebastian Berhalter's really going to have to step up here. This might be the last time we ever see him. Well, I'm not so sure about it after the performance he had. You don't know where this roster is going to be next year. There is going to be a player who either plays their way back into it or plays their way off of it. There's a player in Gio Reyna who is a fascinating one because he's not playing regularly at the club level. He would not have gotten this call up, in my opinion, if you hadn't had injuries and absences and a door opened up for him. Well, and he scored a goal and he played well on Saturday night. That's going to help that door stay open. The U.S. can be a better team if Gio Reyna is in it, but only if he is able to play at his best for an entire tournament. We haven't seen Gio Reyna play at his best over a month's time very often in his career, period. So I'll go back to where I started with the U.S. men's national team as we transition to finish up the segment looking at who's into the World Cup. The U.S. is into it. Reasonable expectations. This is a team that I think has shown you they have more depth than people gave them credit for. They have more players who are capable than they have been given credit for. And Mauricio Pochettino does not care about the name on the back of the shirt, about what your resume looks like, about what your baseball card looks like, about what the stats tell him. He's not going to care what you're doing in those things. He's going to care about what he has seen firsthand with these players. He's going to care about the performances that they have delivered. He's going to care about who fits the way that he wants to play the best. He is a strong enough guy with his convictions that he is not going to check to see what all of the writers or bloggers or podcasters or me or anybody else is going to say about who he should be calling in. He's not going to care. He's going to call in the group that he thinks is the best. That's what he was hired to do. And we'll see if it continues to be what it's been, which frankly is very good. And he hasn't gotten that credit since the two bad games before the Gold Cup. This team has been very good since then. They deserve more credit. He deserves more credit. We'll see if that actually comes. More World Cup stuff to wrap up this segment of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Iraq, they punched their ticket into the playoff round thanks to a late penalty They are still alive. They will go into the Interconfederational Playoff. They won 3-2 on aggregate over the United Arab Emirates. The winner came 17 minutes into stoppage time. VAR got involved. There was a long review, a lot of talk afterwards. So finally, in the 107th minute, you got the penalty. Wild game, but Iraq at home was able to get that win and go on into the Interconfederation Playoff. So your 42 teams that are qualified for the World Cup, 8 out of Asia, Australia, Iran, Japan, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, South Korea, and 2 debutants, Jordan and Uzbekistan. Out of Africa, it's Algeria, Egypt, Ghana, the Ivory Coast, Morocco, Senegal, South Africa, Tunisia, and Cabo Verde, another debutant, one of the smallest countries to ever make it to a World Cup. Out of Europe, automatic qualifiers, Austria, Belgium, Croatia, England, France, Germany, Netherlands, Norway back for the first time since 1998, Portugal, Scotland back for the first time since 1998, Spain, and Switzerland, a lot of heavyweights there. New Zealand gets out of Oceania. CONMEBOL, Argentina, the defending champions, Brazil, Colombia, Ecuador, Paraguay, Uruguay, strong 6 teams right there. Out of CONCACAF, your 3 hosts, Canada, Mexico, the United States. They are joined by Haiti, by Curaçao, and by Panama. That's your 42 teams that have booked their spots for the World Cup next summer. The playoff situations. So you have 2 different playoffs. The draw for both of them will be held on Thursday morning at FIFA headquarters in Zurich. The Interconfederation Playoff. This is all the playoff teams outside of Europe. It's Iraq, it's New Caledonia out of Oceania, it's Bolivia out of South America, it's DR Congo, who got past Cameroon and Nigeria, 2 heavyweights out of Africa. DR Congo won in a penalty shootout over Nigeria in the African final to get to this. And then your 2 teams from CONCACAF that joined them tonight, Jamaica, who needs a new manager, and Suriname. Out of Europe, they will have their own qualification. So 2 teams in the Interconfederation side will have an opportunity to join the World Cup. 2 of those 6, Iraq and DR Congo will host, or not host, they will, sorry, they'll be seeded. So they will only have to play 1 game. The draw will decide who plays in the first round between New Caledonia, Bolivia, Suriname, and Jamaica. The winners will play either Iraq or DR Congo. Europe, it's a little harder to tell what all that's going to look like right now. Teams will be divided into 4 pots. You'll have basically 4 groups for 4 spots. So you're not going to play a group. You're going to play a semifinal and a final within your 4-team pod, maybe is a better way to put it. Your teams that will be there in Europe who still have a shot to get to the World Cup, qualifying out of World Cup qualifying, it's Slovakia, it's Kosovo, who's looking for their first World Cup, it's Denmark, who's been to 5 of the last 7, it's Ukraine, who had a big performance to get past Iceland, it's Turkey, it's Ireland, it's Poland, it's Bosnia and Herzegovina, it's Italy, which is a team to watch, but they got blown out by Norway in their last qualifier, Wales, Albania, and Czechia. That's your 12. Now, 4 additional teams get in based off their performances in the UEFA Nations League. I know it's complicated. These are the 4 teams that were group winners in the Nations League who did not get to this stage through World Cup qualifying. Those 4 teams, Romania, Sweden, North Macedonia, and Northern Ireland. 4 of the 16 that are still left will qualify out of Europe. 2 of the 6 that are still left will qualify out of the Interconfederation Playoff. Reports are that will be held in Mexico in March. The European playoffs will be divided up. The seeds will get to host games. So that will give a big advantage. This is going to be in the March international window. I believe the UEFA games are set for March 26th and March 31st. That will finalize who's coming next summer. In the World Cup draw, there will be placeholders, and the way that that will go is, especially with the UEFA teams, this is where it's important. The two inter-confederation teams will go into pot four in the World Cup draw. The UEFA teams, if you are a pot one team in your group of four, your pod, whoever wins that group would go into pot one. So the highest seeded team in terms of the FIFA rankings that will be fully compiled after the games in this window, which are now all done. Once you get that fully booked, your top seeded team, according to the FIFA rankings in the UEFA pod, will determine what pot you go into in the World Cup draw. So you get a crazy situation where I think Italy is in pot two now. Say Italy doesn't win their pod and somebody like, and I'm trying to think who would be the lowest seeded team that's here. Maybe Albania, maybe Northern Ireland. Let's say they win the pod and shock everybody. Then they would go into pot two, which would weaken the overall level of whatever group drew that team in the World Cup draw in December. Yeah, it's complicated, and I probably just made your head explode. We'll break it all down as we get closer to the World Cup draw. We will have flow charts. We'll have a whiteboard. We'll probably get a chalkboard as well. We'll try to give you a choose-your-own-adventure style reading of it. We'll get you ready for all of that. December 5th is when we will know what the groups look like, who will be grouped with the U.S., what will be the group of death, who will get the easiest group, all of that. We got a couple of weeks to get to that point. But coming up next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight, it's the 3-4-3, three local stories, four headlines, and three things that have made me smile about soccer, this game that I love so much. We'll do all of that next on Atlanta Soccer Tonight on 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to wrap up tonight's show with the 3-4-3.
3-4-3.
Three local stories, four headlines from around the world, and three things that made you smile about the game.
Atlanta Soccer Tonight is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Welcome back. One more segment in Atlanta Soccer Tonight on a crazy day with managers resigning, with Maurizio Pochettino going off. Like, I'm listening to Maurizio Pochettino after the game tonight. I feel like the Terrell Owens clip of, you know, crying, like, that's my quarterback. I feel like that, like, that's my coach. Like, I love hearing him defending his players in that way and talking about all of them in a very respectful way. Love what I heard from Maurizio Pochettino. love what we saw with teams like Haiti. You have no idea how much Haiti has had to deal with, where they haven't been able to play real home games, where, you know, their nation is in shambles on a pretty much regular basis, and they try to make the best of it and try to bring some joy to the people in Haiti and who are in other places as well. They've done that. Curaçao into the World Cup for the first time. Scotland somehow managing to book an automatic spot for the first time in a long time. The Scots will bring the party next summer. If the Irish can get into the playoff, they will bring the party as well. You got some others that it's going to be a colorful World Cup. This segment, it's the 343. It's brought to you by Ford. Visit your local Ford dealer. Three local stories, four headlines from all over the place, and three things that made me smile about the game that I love so much. Local side, number one, Atlanta United roster moves to end the season ahead of the 2026 season. Those were announced today. 19 players already under contract for 2026. Options were picked up on six, and another player is in discussions over a potential new deal. So contract options exercised. So these guys are coming back. Matt Edwards, Jay Fortune, Jaden Hibbert, Will Riley, Jamal Tiare, and Kamen Togashi. Declined contract options on Leo Alfonso, Josh Cohen, Brooks Lennon, Ronald Hernandez, and Nick Sesic. The club remains in negotiations with Ronald Hernandez. Noah Cobb is on loan with Colorado. They have until December 15th to exercise a permanent trade option, or he comes back and he's on the roster next year. So right now, where things stand, you have one goalkeeper under contract in Jaden Hibbert. That will change. You have eight defenders under contract or here on loan in Juan Bettercall's situation. Pedro Amador joins Bettercall along with Chong Kui. Cobb, right now he's on loan to Colorado. He might stay there. Edwards, Steon Gregerson, and Aya Mihai, and Caden Moore, who was on loan to Philadelphia Union 2. His contract becomes a MLS contract for 2026, left-footed young center back. Midfielders, Miguel Almiron, Steven Alzate, Jay Fortune, Saba Lobjanidze, Alexei Maranchuk, Edwin Mosquera, who is on loan in Colombia. I'm not expecting to see him come back, but anything's possible. Tristan Muyamba, Will Riley, Cooper Sanchez, Bartosz Schlich, and Aiden Torres, who was with Atlanta United 2 this past season. Strikers, forwards, wingers, Luke Brennan, Ashton Gordon, Latte Lott, Jamal Tiare, Kamen Togashi. I don't know if there's any big surprises in the decisions today. Maybe a little bit with Hernandez's option not being picked up, but I think you're probably trying to get him on a little bit more cap-friendly deal. Togashi, we just didn't see a lot of him last year. I liked what I saw. I really liked what I saw with Atlanta United, too. I think he's a player that could really fit with what Tata Martino wants. I think he's versatile. He can play out wide. He can play as a 9. He can play as a 10 or a second forward, depending on what kind of shape Tata settles for. So nothing really stood out to me there that shocked me. Number two on the local side, Atlanta United, too. They made roster moves as well. Eight players will return for 2026. A lot of academy players make up the Atlanta United 2 roster. Re-signing of Moises Tablante and Patrick Wea. Wea was excellent in the second half of the season. Tablante was excellent in the first half of the season. Six players already under contract. James Donaldson, Arif Kovac, Toto Majub, Jonathan Ransom, Santiago Pita, and Ignacio Suarez Corey. They are all under contract for 26, along with Tablante and Wea, who were re-signed for 26 with a club option for 27. Declined the contract options on Ryan Carmichael, Sal Masafero, Rodrigo Neri, and Ronan Wynn. Javier Armas is out of contract, and Aiden Torres goes up to the first team. A little surprised on Masafero, to be honest. I thought he might come back another year because I think he is a borderline MLS talent. But here's the thing about Atlanta United, too. Once you've made the decision that you are not going to see someone as a first-team player, then they are either making up the numbers for the twos, which sometimes you need, or they are blocking somebody who could get more playing time that you don't know if they're a first-team player yet. You have a lot of young center backs right now, either on pro deals like Caden Moore or could be on pro deals coming up out of the academy. And if you've already made that decision on Masafero, I think he's a borderline MLS talent. I do. But if you don't see him that way, it's honestly better for him to go somewhere where he might be able to find a more stable situation. We'll be covering all of the roster moves for both teams throughout the offseason as they prepare for 2026. Chris Henderson going to speak to the media tomorrow morning. I'm sure there will be some quotes out of that one. Number three on the local side, I had a chance today to go down to speak to leaders in LaGrange with their visitors and tourism bureau and just talk about all the soccer that is coming to Atlanta, to Georgia, and all the potential effects for a community like LaGrange. It was really cool to talk to folks before and after the event and just get an idea of the excitement level from people who aren't living this like I am on a regular basis about what's coming. And that excitement level was pretty widespread. It's about the World Cup. It's about Atlanta United bringing Tata Martino back. It's about the NWSL announcement last week. And it's about the Women's World Cup coming up in 2031. A lot of excitement about the game. It was very cool to get the chance to go down and speak to folks in LaGrange about that. I'm looking forward to doing more of that as we get ready for next summer and beyond. All right, four headlines from around the world, and we're going to go around the world with this, and we've got some interesting ones. Ernst Tanner, the sporting director of the Philadelphia Union, he is being scrutinized following allegations of sexism, racism, and homophobic behavior spanning most of his tenure at the club. This was reported today by Pablo Iglesias Maurer of The Guardian. Serious allegations surfaced earlier this year. The Major League Soccer Players Association filed a formal complaint in January alleging a pattern of sexist, racist, and homophobic behavior dating back several years in his tenure. A lot of incidents that were recounted by multiple sources. I'm not going to get into all of them because, frankly, if these things were said, they're pretty horrific on all of those different categories. That's the thing, is it's not just one thing. It's a whole bunch of different things. Multiple individuals told investigators that the comments created a culture where female officials and staff felt belittled or dismissed. Others as well. I mean, so many different things here. The allegations were considered by MLS to be among the most serious, the ones about Black players and Black referees. Frequency and tone in what was said, that was what MLS had the biggest issue with. Separate HR complaint alleging inappropriate physical contact, that was handled internally by club HR. That became part of the broader MLSPA complaint. Formal investigation, 13 people were interviewed, 8 participated. They ultimately stated they couldn't corroborate the allegations to the standard required as evidence, so they could not be fully verified through testimony or documentation. So MLS did require Ernst Tanner to complete a structured remedial program. They left the door open for further investigation. The Philadelphia Union has acknowledged that there were some, quote, potentially insensitive gender-based comments, unquote, earlier in his tenure. They provided training in response at the time. Beyond that, the club stood by him, citing the league's findings. They've been really good. Look, he's done a good job in building this team. He made a tough decision in moving on from Jim Curtin. It worked out. Team got a whole lot better this year. But this is a black eye on all of it. And the level of detail in the reporting, it's kind of surprising that the investigation by the league could not turn more of this up. I'm wondering if there's going to be more from this. Stay tuned. Number two on the headlines, the NWSL Championship is this Saturday. Washington Spirit facing Gotham FC. It's at 8 o'clock in San Jose. You can watch it live on CBS and Paramount Plus. The Spirit, they're back in the final for the second straight year. Gotham has had one of the greatest underdog runs in playoff history. Don't say that to Jaden Shaw. She'll go off on you. But she's performing at an incredible level for Gotham right now. They're the 8 seed, the lowest seed in the field. They've upset higher seeds on the road in back-to-back rounds. Jaden Shaw scored the stoppage time free kick winner to knock out Orlando. She's been involved in every Gotham playoff goal. They are really grasping on to the underdog mentality. I think Washington is a better team. Gift Monday scored the opener in their 2-0 win over Portland in the semifinal. Georgia's own Croy Bethune delivered the second goal. I think Washington's a little bit better team, even with Trinity Rodman not 100%. But I'm not discounting Gotham and this underdog mentality and Jaden Shaw. I think Washington wins it. It's going to be a fun match to watch on Saturday night. Again, 8 o'clock, you can watch on CBS. Get some early scouting in for Atlanta NWSL coming up in a couple of years. All right, number three on the headlines, CONMEBOL. They have a proposed 2030 qualifying format that's a lot like a Nations League because they're going to have three host teams in 2030. But they really want to maintain this idea where you play everybody in World Cup qualifying. 18 games, you get 9 home games. Those are lucrative. They sell those for TV. They sell those to sponsors. CONMEBOL is going to try to figure this out. I think they're going to come up with some kind of a Nations League kind of format because the money is just too good to avoid it. But that's going to be a big talking point between now and when that will start, probably in 2027. Number four on the headlines, Real Madrid, they are considering selling a minority equity stake, trying to bring in some more money. This is a membership-driven club. They're 100% owned by the socios, the members. What they want to do is basically take some of the commercial side and chop it up to be able to sell to investors. Similar to what Barcelona did to bring in money because they were broke, Real Madrid, they're not broke. They're trying to bring in more money to really spend at the same level the English clubs are spending because there's just not that kind of revenue in Spain. Keep an eye on that with Real Madrid. It's going to be very interesting. All right, very quickly, three things that make me smile. Troy Parrott's goal for Ireland. Go watch the Irish commentary of it. Go watch Troy Parrott's interview after the game. If you're not moved by that, you're probably listening to the wrong show. If you're a sports fan and you see that and you hear that and you watch that and you hear the emotion in his voice, you have to love it, right? It's what we love about the Olympics, for example, with teams and countries and players that we don't know, but you're captivated by it. Ireland did that for me over the weekend. Scotland is number two. They did that for me today. Watching the game with Scottish fans at the Brewhouse Cafe was just an amazing experience. Seeing them erupt in these big moments, hearing them freak out in the bad moments, just an amazing, amazing ride. And the third thing is just kind of now it feels real. We've got 42 of 48 teams qualified. The draw is going to be a journey as we get to that on December 5th. I can't wait to see how everything shakes out for the World Cup. It's real now. We're less than a year away. We're going to know very soon who's coming to Atlanta. I know I've got some teams I'd like to see. Let me know who you would like to see. Send me a message at Longshoe on social media. I'd love to hear from people about who you want to see come to Atlanta next summer. We'll be talking about all of it as we get ready for it. I'll be back next Tuesday with another edition of Atlanta Soccer Tonight. Adios, everybody.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now.
Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.